Hello, this is Jane Clark, the historian at Aintree Racecourse, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition with Alex Leftchuk.
Thank you very much, Jane. Highs today of 15 degrees centigrade, lows of 18 degrees centigrade. 18? I said 8 degrees centigrade. Honestly, sometimes. Varying amounts of cloud, but with some sunny spells. Ideal preparation for a week on Saturday, of course, when the excitement will be reaching fever pitch, not just in the country, but also, of course, in Harrogate, Yorkshire, because it's time for Countryside Live. Isn't that right? Tremendously wonderful show director, Charles Mills. Good morning, Charles. How are you?
I'm absolutely great. Thank you very much.
Great Lovely. Stuff. Fantastic to touch base with your good self. I know that your predecessor, Bill Cowling, is saying, yes, Charles Mills, he's my choice. He's the boy. He's the man. But this, of course, is your first ever show director event for the whole thing with Countryside Live, isn't it?
It is, yes, and I'm very excited and hugely proud to be involved with this organisation.
It's great stuff. You have got a fantastic team there, because Judy Thompson there, of course, Nigel Pulling, all the greats, etc. It's kind of like you're eased through, so it's a case of really standing on the shoulders of giants, perhaps.
Well, I'm just the face. The team do all the work, and yes, they are incredible here, every single one of them.
It's great stuff. Now, I feel as though we kind of grew up with Countryside Live, because it was when we started both for Siren and Southside Broadcasting beginning to cover the events at the Yorkshire Harrogate Showground. And it's a wonderful sort of, I mean, originally set off as a kind of autumnal cousin to, obviously, the Great Yorkshire Show, the country's largest agricultural event. Sorry, Lincolnshire Show, I know that's great, and we are there, but, you know, we still work
well
out
done.
Those. Yeah. But in terms of Countryside Live, that's something else which is just growing and growing, and it's a wonderful family event as well. Over the weekend, you can see all sorts of fine happenings.
You can indeed. Yes, it is aimed at families, really, but we mustn't forget that it is an agricultural event. That was its origin, and we do try to keep agriculture at the fore of it. I mean, there's lots of different things to see for families, though. A huge education area, so many different things. But yeah, it's a wonderful event too, and we just need some good weather, and everybody should come.
We noticed a few weeks ago, of course, when we were covering the delightful North of England Horticultural Society's Autumn Flower Show, that, as indeed announced in the press and so on, big changes at the Yorkshire Harrogate Showground. You've had the builders in. You've still got the builders in.
We've still got the builders in, and they should be with us while June, but that's not making any difference to what we're about. We've got a wonderful, it hardly looks like a temporary structure. It's a wonderful structure to fill the gap of Hall 1. Yes, you'll see the building work going on with Hall 1, but that will not disrupt Countryside Live in any way. So much of it's going to be still undercover. It will be wonderful.
It is great stuff. In the studio, we have Professor Scott Davidson, Deputy Vice-Chancellor of the University of Lincoln. Precise title, Scott, just to confirm that's still okay. That's all right.
That's me.
Yeah, because we haven't given you the formal title so far today, and I've kind of been conscious of that. So I thought, no, we'll wait until we introduce the show director for Countryside Live to say Deputy Vice-Chancellor of the University of Lincoln.
Yeah, I used to prefer it when I was pro-vice.
I thought about that, but then I thought, no, but step into another line entirely. Anyway, Scott, any questions that you have for the wonderful Charles Mills?
Charles, good morning. I know it's a bit of a cliche, but when I think of Yorkshire farming, I think of, you know, the Dales and the Highland farming. Are you going to have the sheepdogs there this year?
Well, they're not really any sheepdogs. There are demonstrations of various sorts, one-managed pig and lots of educational events. Well, we do have some dog agility shows, which aren't quite perhaps what you're thinking about.
You've some sheep handlers, Scott. There'll be sheep handlers there. That was sort of photo. Actually, there's a sheep handler section at Countryside Live 2014, so we might occasionally have a sheep handler around. It's very good.
Yeah. Well, we've got everything here. You should come and see. But Yorkshire's not just about the Dales.
No.
He's got absolutely everything as how.
Well said, Charles. Yeah. Scott well, obviously being from Newcastle. He doesn't realise this.
No, well, I lived in East Yorkshire, so I know about the piggies as well. So,
yes,
you know.
We've got everything from the Wolds to the Moors to the Dales. Every single thing here. And it's all sort of centred round Harrogate. So, as I say, come and see, and there's a lot going on.
I've often said, Charles, actually, Harrogate is, you know, it's probably Lincoln, Harrogate, centres of the universe, kind of twin spearheads in their own way. Eva, of course, you came along to see the excitement that was the Great Yorkshire Show earlier this year.
I did.
And we're quite impressed with it from that perspective. Are you looking forward to Countryside Live?
Without a doubt. I mean, I have been involved with the society for a long time. I was chief cattle steward for Countryside Live for a number of years, and so I know exactly what goes on with it. But I am looking forward to it in a different role.
I'm sorry, I was just taken there momentarily by a new for 2015, Bjorn the Polar Bear. I'll say that again. Bjorn the Polar Bear. Not necessarily the most indigenous scenario that's actually there, but I mean, indeed, to find out more about polar bears, Eva, you can actually come and meet Bjorn, who's apparently friendly and totally gorgeous.
I will do that.
You've got donkey rides, you've got ferret racing, you've got Create Next Door, you've got the Northern Showcross Series final that's actually there with respect to show jumping and more, one of the major sort of aspects that's there. And I can see almost a wry smile here when we think back to last year. You've brought back the Diggerland experience, Charles.
Oh yes, and that's for young and old alike, I think, as I understand. It's a whole family affair, is that?
Have you ever driven a digger dump truck at all, Eva?
No, I haven't.
Could be something
yet.
You can look for. No. As you say, he wasn't joshing us. One man and his pig was indeed there. You know, it's don't miss an entertaining assault course for pigs. That's what it's all about. Keeping it real, keeping it Yorkshire. Yes. Exactly, yes. I'm not going to make the obvious connection. No, precisely. Climbing walls are there. You've got the forge. Dealing with the have-a-go archery. There's just so much, Charles. We've already scrolled down the page, and it's still even more of the whole system there. It's astounding.
Don't forget, we've got some of the finest livestock as well. You mustn't forget that with all these other wonderful attractions, but... You know, lots of wonderful cattle and sheep entries, many of which go on to win national shows throughout the UK. So it's a whole round package here, a fantastic event to come and see.
Absolutely. And indeed, you've also got the wonderful friend of the station, Ben Potter, will be there with his Birds of Prey demonstration.
That's
always,
right.
Always good for it from that perspective. Any major changes in terms of car parking and such like? Because, I mean, normally it is free, it's available. I'm just thinking, do you actually move to a different zone? Will the car parking be its usual excellent self?
It is exactly as before. No different on that at all. Transport, if you park at some distance, there are still buses on. So, yes, it will be just as before, really.
And hypothetically, for coming up to Lincoln, if they actually make the way by train, shuttle buses from the railway service to the showground, will they be available?
I think there are some buses on. Whether it's quite the same as for the Yorkshire show, I'm not sure. Right. But I'm sure the bus routes are still excellent to get here.
It's a different thing. Now, the great thing is, there is a competition that we're running as well. A competition, yes, you can have a family ticket to the Great Yorkshire Show's wonderful autumn sibling Countryside Live. It is available. And the question we're going to put, and we have actually given the answer already in this interview, effectively, what was Charles Mills' speciality before he actually became show director? He had a particular agricultural speciality. You can't answer, Scott. I'm sorry, you're not allowed. Equally. But what was Charles Mills' speciality in terms of agriculture, farming, before he actually became show director? Is that a fair question, Charles, do you think? I mean, people can always play the podcast back again if they wanted to. Oh, I shouldn't have given that away. Yeah.
It's a fair question. Bear in mind I'm a farmer. I'm a Yorkshire farmer.
Exactly. Classic, you know, so there we are. You've got, obviously, your Facebook, your Twitter, your social networking sites. The web address is, as ever, countrysidelive.co.uk. That's countrysidelive.co.uk. Eva, any thoughts from yourself?
Well, I'm just thinking of what that entails now, that job.
The job of show director?
Yeah.
What does it entail, Charles?
It's a simple one. It's a simple one. Are you wanting a clue?
No, I don't. I mean, a clue to being show director. It's all right. It's not the answer to the competition, but it is interesting. And we're still. I mean, there's a ferret, and there we are, the ferret. So, I mean, what's not to love about that? I'm sorry, we're just taken by the image of the ferret on the Countryside Live website there, Charles.
Oh, right.
So, and I know it's Bill had to cope with it every so often, you know. But you've got the show director on air. It's all right. We're looking at a picture of a ferret in a tube. You know, it's ferret roulette. It's just quirky. In many ways, so reminiscent.
I find Scott of early first year students at the University of Lincoln, actually, where they just peek their heads around. But yeah, it's just me.
It's not an early morning picture then.
There you go. Charles, it's been fantastic touching base with your good self. Tickets, of course, crucial thing. Are they still available? Can they book them online? Can people get tickets on the gate and so on?
They are still online, and yes, they can get tickets on the gate too. So there's no problem with that at all.
Brilliant. Saturday the 17th of October, Sunday the 18th of October. It's going to be a sensational sort of event from that point of view. I need to ask the question, Charles. It's been your first official connection with us from wearing your wonderful august capacity as being show director for Countryside Live. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme this morning?
It's been great. Yeah, very challenging, and one or two things I really should perhaps read up on a bit more, but it's wonderful. Thank you very much.
Judy Thompson insists and make it challenging for him, you know. You know Judy, it's the way forward. There's a press base, so it's always important. We wouldn't be so, I mean, and don't get me started with respect to Lady Emma when we get to the summer and Lady England base. Lord knows, different life. So I take it, Charles, we'll hopefully catch up with you at the event itself, and you will return to the airwaves in the very near future.
Well, look forward to it. Thank you.
I think a round of applause for Charles Mills, show director for Countryside Live. Let's just say, if you want to actually send in your answers to that, you can send them to either info@southsidebroadcasting.com or indeed the Siren studio address, studio@sirenonline.co.uk. Market, obviously, Countryside Live competition. And what we want to know is quite simply, what was Charles Mills's occupation in the agricultural world before he became show director for the wonderful Countryside Live? And of course, next year, inevitably, Charles, it's the big one. Are you just sense of anticipation for the Great Yorkshire Show, your first one as show director?
Well, I'm just excited. It's a huge honour. Well, that's all I can say.
Of course, I mean, last year, of course, we Prince Charles and the Duchess of
Cornwall.
Exactly, thank you. Straight in there, sorted. He's on the case with who knows what sort of royal patronage we can get for your first official show. Charles, an absolute delight. Take care. Speak again very soon.
Thank you very much indeed.
Could it be the Angel of the North? It is. It is the Angel of the North. It's Ian Lennox. Yay! How are you, Ian?
I'm fine. Can I just give you a little warning? I've got a chap coming round to fix my roof.
That's okay.
Shortly.
Arthur? Is he doing some more DIY?
Yeah.
All right, very quickly.
Now, that last record, yes? That's a very dangerous thing for a lady to be singing, because the absolute classic of that song is by a lady called Nina Simone, who I invite you to play it sometime, and you'll see what I mean. She's incredible.
Well, the challenge has been put down, and I'm sure we'll take it up. As indeed, right. Last week, you may recall, we gave Eva McDonald the challenge of reading your book. Eva, what was the result?
It was good. I liked it.
She's read the whole thing, Ian.
In 1 week?
No.
I think I'll bring up the Guinness Book of Records.
I was an English literature student. I'm used to it.
Oh, right. Well, now that's not, you know, most English literature students end up by not reading anything. They get saturated with reading, and they won't go back to book for years after they get a degree.
So clearly, Eva, you have made Ian's day, and I just thought it was even more wonderful that we had a situation whereby to celebrate that City managed to score six, you know, six against Newcastle United. It's great, you know, just a little celebrate, little added bonus there, cricketing score.
All I can say is this, Alex, there's one thing worse than a bad loser, it's a bad winner.
I'm not. I just mentioned it briefly to Arthur.
Briefly, every week you mention it.
Five goals, though, not bad. Plus an additional one by De Bruyne. Moving on, Eva, what did you make of the book?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was very good. I would ask you, what inspired you to write it?
It's a long story. I used to work in television, and I was doing some research for a programme I was doing, and met this ex-Sussex cricketer who played in the 30s, and who actually taught me when I was at school. He taught me cricket when I was at school. I hadn't seen him for about 30 years, and had to interview him about his life. And he described the life of a cricketer, a player in the 30s, and it was like apartheid with flannels on. The cricket, the professional cricketers, either working class people, had to travel in third class trains as opposed to first class of the gentlemen. They had to call the gentleman Mister, and subgrounds and the members of the same team had separate dressing rooms. They came on the pitch by different gates at some grounds, and there was this complete division. And I asked him how he stood it, and he said it was just the way it was in those days. And so it gave me that. When years later I decided to write a book about cricket, that was the theme of it. And also, the class war that went on in cricket was like a microcosm of the class war that went on in society in many ways, because as you know, England is a quite rigidly class society even now. And I use cricket as a sort of metaphor for society, I suppose. When I did the research, it was absolutely fascinating. What had happened in English public schools in the 19th century was that the two main games were not rugby and cricket, it were football and cricket. And the members of the establishment see what happened when football became influenced by professional sport, as it became a professional sport, and were absolutely rigidly against cricket going down the same path. But of course, they couldn't stop it for a number of reasons. And there was that sort of struggle went on. And it went on into the 60s, really, and probably still goes in some muted form, goes on today, I imagine. Yeah. So, it was just a fascinating thing. I said it in the 20s and 30s because there was a huge conflict developed around about that period over the body line bowling that England employed in Australia. So I used that as a sort of the background to it all. And I thoroughly enjoyed doing the research for once, which I find very difficult sometimes.
Wonderful. One question, waiting for the builder to arrive, and it's all sorted out, while the roof is as well. Scott, you had a question about the cover, I believe, that you wish to share.
Well, yes, I've just seen the cover, and I haven't had a chance to look at the text.
Would you like to take it away, Scott? Because it's been passing the baton, etc., and actually peruse it at leisure.
Yeah, and it sounds like Downton Abbey on grass.
Yeah. Not the thing. Not you kind of smoke, by the way, just in case you're wondering.
I was looking at the cover, and I thought that is a most ungentlemanly delivery.
Yes, it was meant to be. Actually, it was extremely. It was drawn by an American artist, actually, who I met quite by chance. He was drawing a tree in his open green, and I look at it. So I said, "Can you draw a picture of a cricketer playing cricket?" And of course, he had no clue what cricket was about. So the first version was a bit more like baseball than anything else. So I had to get him pictures of Howard Lard bowling in one of the Test matches, and I based it on that. You know, he based it on that.
Well, it's a very busy cover. If I could just explain it a little bit and paint a picture for listeners, we've got a neoclassical building in the background, which looks a bit like my old college, actually. Then we've got the cricket taking place, and then there's a lady on a horse which is rearing up, and she's about to bring her riding crop across the.
Sounds just like Downing College to me, actually.
Yeah. And it's wonderfully busy and active, and I think there may even be an oak tree there. It's
there
fabulous.
Is. Yeah, there is. Yeah. I had to move the oak tree, I think, from when I asked them to move the oak tree because it was blocking most of the mansion. They're all scenes from the book, obviously.
Gentlemen and Players is, of course, the title. And what say, Scott, take away, you can have a review when next you join us.
Thank you. And I notice on the back is Ben Lyndon. Lyndon? Lindwall?
No, it wasn't actually. You know, sometimes you get stuck for names. I don't know when you're writing fiction. It's a dangerous thing, I think, to start dwelling on names too long because it stops you thinking about everything else.
Yeah.
So I live in a place called Linden Road, so I just picked up Linden from the Linden tree.
Very briefly, Ian, in a few moments' time, we have the return of Bill Steele, we've just sorted out the notion that although Professor Scott Davison was in Newcastle at the time, he was more of a Mike Neville fan as opposed to a Bill Steele fan. How can we actually put him right with respect to the Neville versus Steele battle, which clearly is a, as a Tyne Dees person?
I work with them both, and I really like them both. Mike and I became very close friends, actually, for a while, and he was presenting the programme, the news programme I worked on. And Bill, I was always amenable, and funny enough, I had a coffee with a lady called Cathy Secker yesterday.
Again?
Yes, oh yes.
Always having coffee with Cathy.
I know, every time someone breaks down the house, she gives me a ring.
Uh-huh.
Good. Anyway, she used to work with Bill, so if you remind Bill about Cathy,
why should I?
You'll not get a word in for half an hour. They were together in continuity for years.
It's the return of the Steelmeister. Amazing. As we said, Ian, we didn't think it was possible, but with Professor Scott Davison, Arthur McKenzie, yourself, and Bill Steele, that's four Newcastle people on the Midweek Drive.
You're going to have to move up here, aren't you? Save your fortune on phone calls.
There's only so much one could do as a citizen.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Have you got to bang my shirt on?
It's not going to happen. Let's move on. Ian, Eva, last two questions for Ian, please.
Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes, I have.
You didn't expect Eva to have read the book, did you, Ian? Let's face it, you didn't expect that to happen.
I've forgotten all about it, but thank you, Eva. Thank you.
Exactly.
That book's become like a baton.
It is.
It'll probably get a gold medal in the Olympics.
Exactly. And the next one.
Will we be hearing again from you soon?
I hope so, yes.
Exactly.
If my roof's still on.
In case you're wondering, Emma Tinson is still doing a work placement at BBC Surrey. And, of course, Jessica Ward is getting her naturalisation thing today. She's becoming a genuine citizen of the country.
Is that a lady from Malta, is it?
No, that's the lady who's in the Isle of Man, but she came from New Zealand. Sorry. And New Zealand and Malta is very similar, I think, in so many ways. We both have human beings in them. Anyway, that's all I shall say. Ian, you will return. We'll speak to you soon.
Thank you.
You're listening to Siren 107.3. Good morning. Time now on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition for culinary class and gastronomic gorgeousness with the broadcasting legend, who is William Sitwell.
Rachel still gets very, very excited when she actually sort of gets the chance to introduce you live, William, as you might imagine. So great stuff there, every sense of the word. Good morning, William. Where are you at present? Are you in the office? Are you chilled out, ready for another post-bake-off winning day?
I'm in London. I just hot-footed it from Cambridge, where I went to a new chicken restaurant called Ray's, which is, if it works, and I'm sure it will, you'll see them grow across the country. It's an offshoot of, it's a new brilliant idea of Pizza Express. And chicken, nothing but chicken. The best chicken, finest chicken rotisserie, chicken with hot sauce, chicken with cool sauce.
Tastes like chicken, does it?
Chicken with chips, tastes like chicken. It's pretty damn good as well. So you may be full of cake, but I'm full of chicken.
What better way to actually celebrate and rejoice? Professor Scott Davison is back with us again. He was a wee bit worried, actually, William, that you were still having a puncture, really, when we had one or two little challenges reaching you, but all's well.
All's well.
As Deputy Vice-Chancellor of the University of Lincoln, you care about such
I worry
things.
About such things, yes.
A critical way forward on the whole system. And Eva inevitably said, no, it's all right, it will work out well. Just as it did for Nadia, of course. Was that the sort of winner that you would have expected? And would you have hidden the trophy away? Because obviously she had to be very quiet until the whole result was revealed.
Well, she would have done, because they obviously filmed these things quite a while back. So, and I think it must be very hard, given the fact that even the Prime Minister is talking about it, that the person who wins and takes the trophy can't tell even her nearest and dearest. Mm. And I think that's a real, must be something, really tortuous. But I do have a small confession to make. Mm-hmm. I haven't watched a single episode of the programme.
You and me both, William. You know, we thought, well, at least we've given it due satisfaction. Because you're too busy coping with the devastation wrought by the Australians in the Rugby World Cup. I know, that's the thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's only so many of these things you can watch. I appear in some of them. Mm-hmm. Don't mean that too arrogantly. Occasionally watch them. And I hope that the millions of people who watched it, some of them will do it. That's all I can hope for. And I hope that they're inspired by the diversity of cakes, that the multicultural contestants, which was fantastic. And I think hope people get inspired that, you know, cakes for everyone, but there's more to life than cake. Mm. Although sometimes it may feel that it shouldn't be. But, I mean, I think there's Asian salads as well. But I don't think you can create an award-winning TV series based on the making of them.
I mean, you know, Asian salads in association with Ray's quality chicken, I think there's a definite line there. You know? It's just a little bit of food fusion and programming field. Scott?
Well, yes, I'm not really that interested in cakes and baking. Mm. More of a savoury person. And I did see a cake, however, from the German version of the show, which was a mincemeat and gherkin cake.
Why am I not surprised?
That would do. That would do.
Yeah. So is Germans and mincemeat and gherkin. Unbelievable. That obviously sounds better than the original German. Amazing.
I'm intrigued, William, as to where the chicken restaurant is in Cambridge. Cambridge was a culinary hole when I was at university there.
It Downing was. College, the home of Cambridge University Radio, the, in a culinary hole.
Well, the home of burnt chicken.
I'll tell you, Ray's is by the Corn Exchange. There's actually quite a few interesting places. I mean, there's a Jamie's there now. So there's this old sort of pub on the corner. It kind of looks sort of like a Victorian building. And Ray's is all orange. Orange, a lot of orange. So yeah, just by the theatre on the corner there,
yeah.
A venue. I think the Stranglers are playing there shortly, and I'm sure they'll all pile into Ray's afterwards.
Well, inevitably.
So yeah, right in the middle of Cambridge.
They can have some golden brown chicken as well. Sorry,
not sure that's legal, but anyway.
As ever, William, you've got those sort of legal aspects to full force. Eva, literally 2 weeks before we find out that you are going to be Miss Teen UK. Any thoughts you'd like to put to William, or maybe you'd like to seek his advice on those last moments? She was visiting, was it visiting the sick or just visiting young children earlier this week, Eva?
It was visiting a hospice.
Visiting a hospice?
On Monday or Tuesday. Yeah. Tuesday.
Laying on of hands?
No, it's just going around and seeing the hospice and doing bits and bobs.
The youth put us to shame on a week-by-week basis, William, but there we are, anyway.
They do. I tell you, one of the most moving places I went to recently is the Foundling Museum. In London, the Museum of, and it's extraordinary. There are these, I mean, obviously I spend quite a lot of my time, you know, visiting poor people and laying on of hands, as you might imagine.
Your way, William.
I was humbled to go to the original Foundling Museum in London, and Bloomsbury, I think it is, really, not far from Euston. And all of the children who arrived brought with them, were given a little, sort of often a token, that would partly sort of identify them, and they have all these tokens set up as a sort of little exhibition. And I mean, they're just heartbreaking because everything from a tiny coin to literally a sort of piece of metal, all of these things sort of signifying a life, you know, amazing. So yeah, I'm with you there. More laying on of hands. We should all spend our lives going around hospices, bringing life and pleasure to the needy. And bringing them cakes or kimchi
or chicken. It's very forward, and it can be as simple as that, really.
The Foundling Hospital was the first major musical fundraiser that occurred. Handel's Messiah, which he first performed in Dublin, went down very badly. So then I can't remember the name of the he was an ex-seafarer who established the Foundling Hospital.
Yes, absolutely.
But he Coram, isn't it? Coram Fields, that's where it's located. Yeah. And he engaged Handel to stage the Messiah to raise funds for the Foundling Hospital. And that's
when he was also painted by Hogarth.
He was, yes, yes.
And that's the kind of magic that manifests when you actually sort of have the William Sidwell slot on the programme. It's just, it's like a little droplets of culture seeping through the whole thing. And obviously with our very own Professor Scott Davidson as well. Splendid. It's marvellous. We move to another William, a Bill actually, Bill Steele, up in a few moments' time. William, I take it it's all gone well for you. How's the research going, or the writing of your second book, of course? History of Food and 100 Recipes is still available, but the second one on wartime rationing and importance of wartime foods still being planned.
Yeah, I'm up to about 74,212 words. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of ploughing on. I'm hoping to have it done by the end of the month, and then I'll start reading the damn thing.
There you are. Scott, last two questions for William Sidwell, please.
As somebody who was born in the year that tea came off ration, have you had an interesting telephonic exchange with us today, William?
Very nice. Nice and mellow conversation. I like the way we can just drift. It's fantastic.
That's wonderful. And can we look forward to talking to you soon?
Absolutely. I'm sure. Next week. And then I'm away, and then I'm still away, but I'm sure your man will track me down, whether it's Boston or Spain.
It's a way forward. Meanwhile, if you are going to check out Ray's Chicken in... Is it Ray's Chicken in Cambridge?
Ray's in Cambridge.
Just Ray's in Cambridge. Just shameless plugs, etc. And who knows, if you strike it right, you might meet them at the same time as Hugh Cornwell and company actually drop by as well. Just a thought. William, we salute you. Take care now.
Golden brown, texture like sun, lays me down, with my mind she runs throughout the night. No need to fight, never a frown.
As we said, to get not one, not two, not three, but four Newcastle folk on the same show, astounding. Started off, of course, with Arthur McKenzie. Well, actually, you know, started off with Professor Scott Davidson, of course, launching the show. Ooh, all of 1 hour and 40 minutes ago, Scott. That's amazing. Time shooting by. Arthur McKenzie, of course, joining us in the first hour. Then Ian Lennox, who, well, let's face it, Scott, he was fulsome. Fulsome in his praise of our next co-presenter, who's lined up now and said, well, wonderful bloke he actually is.
He did.
Amazing. Yeah. And we are privileged, Eva MacDonald and Professor Scott Davidson, to actually be in the presence of the Steelmeister. Bill Steele, welcome to the programme. How are you?
Oh, that blush, blush. Thank you so much. And thanks to Ian as well. Hi, Ian. Thanks,
yeah.
Alex.
Well, yeah, he's getting Ian's getting his roof fixed. He's waiting for somebody to actually come along and sort out his roof. It's his way forward. I don't know. It's a different line. Scott, would you like to have a chat with Bill Steele? We've been looking at your Wikipedia entry, Bill. We thought, why not? It's a television and radio broadcaster from Northeast England. Also acted briefly, appearing in Coronation Street. Of course, most known for a whole range of wonderments that you actually did with Tyne Tees Television, where, of course, you were anchor person for the wonderful Northern Life, which, of course, Scott, when you were up there, you didn't used to watch because it was obviously on Tyne Tees.
Yes, but I was young then. I didn't know any better.
Exactly.
Just a young man, yes.
So, thoughts and questions for Bill about life, the universe, and why it's been so long since he's last been back on the show.
Well, can we start with the last one, Bill? Ooh, is it because Alex hasn't invited you?
No.
Well, yes, he lost the number, I think. No, he's got so many people wanting to be on the programme, but I guess that you're on a list somewhere, and then eventually get round to you, and then off you go again.
It was partly social media. I was prompted. I thought, it's high time. It's high time. Yeah. Too long.
And am I right in thinking that you were at Metro Radio?
Yeah, they've been on the air for a couple of years, and an old BBC colleague of mine was the boss there. And he rang up and said, "Could he come and do some shows for Metro?"
Yes,
and I thought it was the Paris Underground. I'm not a program controller at a new station called Metro, a radio station. He said, "Could he come and?" I said, "What kind of program? What kind of part?" I thought it was drama. He said, "No, it's just jockey." I said, "I don't know the top 20. What are you talking about?" He said, "Well," he said, "give it a try this coming Saturday." So I went on the weekend, and then I finished up doing 7 days a week.
Well, I remember the start of Metro, and in fact,
yep.
It must have been 73
It must have been around that time. Yeah, the guy was doing the breakfast show before me was a nice lad, Dave Gregory. Remember Dave?
I do. Yes.
X Radio 1. Yeah, Radio 1 boy. And anyways, for one reason or another, they decided not to keep him on, and that's when I got my break. They you know, which is very good, very nice of them, but not so good for David. We still keep in touch, David. And I. He seems to be working quite well.
Yeah, well, there is a personal connection with Metro as well. I did appear on a quiz show on Metro.
Really?
Yes. I didn't get very far.
Whilst we're reviewing, because obviously we found this connection a year or so back when we realised that different times. You were at Downing College in Cambridge. I was there helping set up Cambridge University Radio latterly in the 80s. But, of course, my very first broadcast was on a phone link with Bobby Moncur on Metro Radio.
Bobby, another mate of mine. Yes.
I just thought I'd bowl that out there because that was when I
didn't realise you were obviously to do with football, wasn't you?
Strangely enough, yes. You know, even Newcastle United in those days.
Oh, God, Bobby. Yeah, yes, he was. He did Metro, and then he worked for Century, of course. Yeah. I believe it was
1974 where I actually did that whole thing, a little phone piece with the whole thing, and then they thought I was quite articulate for my age. There we are. Anyway,
yeah.
Sorry.
Haven't lost your magic touch.
and hope still sprang eternal in the Newcastle United supporters' breast at that time.
Yeah. We still keep our fingers crossed, don't we?
However, the connection, Scott.
Yes, my brother was on the technical side at Metro for a number of years in the 1980s.
What was his name?
Bruce Davidson.
Oh, yes, that's a name from the past. Yeah.
he tells scurrilous tales of, you know, boozy lunches and...
No. Engineers in Metro, boozy lunches.
Well, I think it was the reporters and journalists he was talking about.
Yes, I wasn't... you can't blame me for that one. No, I didn't have any boozy lunches in those days. If I was working, I couldn't do it, you know.
What would John Myers be saying? I mean, honestly, what was...
Oh, John, of course, no, but certainly not with John around. No, he's teetotal as John. Yeah, as I am now, I mean, I'm teetotal. The boozy lunches used to take place at, with the journalists, you're right. The presenters we used to... Remember Mike the Mouth Elliott?
Mike the Mouth Elliott. Vaguely, yes. Even McDonald's is looking completely bemused by the whole thing now. These are obviously unequally. Yes.
Yeah, well, Mike LeMarf, he died, bless him, but he was... He and I used to enjoy...
Was it something he ate? I'm sorry, I couldn't resist it. If he was up there, he'd appreciate that line.
Happy memories.
So we've been looking, talking about memories, at a few of the photographs that are online featuring your good self, Bill, and we pulled up one which has the Tyneside Television logo in the background there. Eva, there we are, Bill Steele.
I can see.
In his fulsome prime. He hasn't changed at all. I mean, his young son, Christian, not so young these days, of course, but is an ace actor who will also be joining us before too long. Eva, questions for Bill, because I'm sure Bill might well have judged a number of teens. Eva is currently the holder of Miss Teen Lincoln. In a fortnight's time, she could be Miss Teen UK.
Well done. Well, give us good luck on that one.
Thank you.
Yeah, great.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Anyway.
Are you feeling confident or are you feeling nervous?
I'd say confident more than nervous. I don't like to be nervous.
She's a quality operatic singer, you know. She's a regular on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition and Midweek Drive. If she doesn't get the award with the University of Lincoln as well backing the whole system, well, frankly, you know, it's just obviously just insanity. But never mind. That's by the way. I'm not on the panel in any way, shape, or form. Any thoughts of advice you'd actually pass on? Because I mean, we said obviously you launched as an actor, Bill. You moved into continuity announcing. You then sort of dealt with the Paris Underground. I know. Sorry. It's just too good a story to miss on that basis. Any thoughts you'd like to share with Eva, or indeed the listener in general, about confidence and best ways of working in presentation?
Deep breath and try not to go too quickly. That's what happens. You get nervous and you speed up a bit. That's when it becomes a bit incoherent. Be yourself, which is the hardest thing to be, of course, when you're on air, because it's... it is a performance, and you have to sound as natural as you possibly can. That's the best I can give you.
I find the same sort of strategy adopts when we actually come on giving lectures these days as well, but still, that's fine.
I've got an awful joke that links music and Metro Radio.
Go on.
Yeah. What's a metronome? A small person a small person who works on the Paris Underground.
Oh, yeah. Get up.
Feel the free to use that at your leisure, Bill, you know, the next sort of after-dinner speech. We'll just see how it sort of works on that basis. Give, obviously, full credit to Professor Scott Davidson for delivering that little number. It's wonderful. Metronome, person who, yeah. Small person working on the Paris Underground. Genius. Bill, have you got any questions you want to put to Professor Scott Davidson, our ace deputy vice-chancellor at the University of Lincoln, or Eva, or anything in the next few seconds that you're still with us?
Yeah, how the lecture's going there, the boys and girls who are, you know, wanting to be journalists, are you getting a lot through these days, or has it gone fairly quiet?
Oh, no, it's still very popular, and student satisfaction with our journalism course is very high. Last year, we were number one in the National Student Survey nationally, so it's going along very well. And, of course, we've got wonderfully dedicated people here.
Of course you have. Yes, you've got the top man, Alex, so he's can't get better than him.
Bill, please, you know, I'm I just, yeah, it's all right. We'll get you back as a guest speaker one of these days. That's what I look after.
Alex, look forward to that.
It'll happen. Bill, fantastic, touching base with a good self. Go on, Scott. It's from one Newcastle man to another, although technically you're Northumbria. Oh, well, actually, technically, Bill's more. Would you define yourself as Newcastle or Manchester, Bill? Because it's always difficult with yourself.
I can't hear you, Alex.
Would you define yourself as Newcastle or Manchester?
Newcastle. I'm based in Newcastle.
Definitely. Yeah, I know you're based in Newcastle, but were the family roots sort of Manchester, or are you sort of more Newcastle?
More Newcastle, I imagine.
Well, I stand with my original sort of suggestion then. Scott, last two questions, please.
Bill, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic exchange with us this
morning? As always, yes. It's been absolutely terrifico. I'm in love these days. I've fallen in love with a dog.
Oh, and the dog's name is?
His name is Groucho, and he's the most delightful dog you've ever met.
Bill Steele and Groucho the dog.
Well, full marks for
that's
that.
The one.
Exactly. and you'll be back again soon, Bill, no doubt.
Hopefully, if you ask me, I'll be there.
Yeah, a round of applause for Bill Steele, please. Yes, go!
Thanks a lot, and good luck, everybody.
From Bill Steele up in Newcastle, we go not under the Tyne, but under the lake as we connect with our Doctor Who scholar and ace critique person, founder of CaldorCity.com. That's Alan Stevens. Good morning, Alan. How are you?
Clear, thanks.
Excellent.
Yeah, thanks.
Quick introductions once again to Professor Scott Davidson, Deputy Vice-Chancellor of the University of Lincoln. Sadly, Scott was not able to attend Telefantasy and Society 1 earlier this year because he was out of the country. Otherwise, you could have actually sort of renewed acquaintances when Alan was with us on campus back in May the 6th.
And it's left a huge hole in my life, Alex.
I thought it would, Scott, actually. I really did.
A black hole.
And Professor Fiona Moore as well being there. They were devastated. I mean, Fiona had just got a professorship. She thought, can I actually speak to Professor Scott Davidson? No, he's not in the country. Anyway, that's okay. What did you make, Alan, of Under the Lake? Is it a case of, it's a two-parter, I'm just going to have to wait until the second one? Was it stretched out? Was it another sea-based scenario thing, the likes of which Waters of Mars, directed by, of course, our mutual colleague Graham Harper, was much better? What were the thoughts?
I heard an echo of myself there. I thought it was very good. You know, I was very... It went out... much later than normal. It went out at quarter nine, didn't it?
Mm.
And I think it was because they thought it was a bit scarier than the normal Not Who. Mm. And I found it quite scary, you know, even though I'm 49. So, yeah, I quite liked it. I mean, again, you know, sometimes you watch the first episode of a story and you think, oh, that's going to be good. What's going to happen next? And then you see the next episode and you think, oh, he messed that up. So I'd like to reserve judgment on the whole thing until I've seen episode two. But certainly episode one was, edge of the seat stuff, as if it being anything like... Graham's story. Well, I think there are a number. If you look at Doctor Who, which is a formula show, they often, take ideas that have appeared before and give a twist to them. So yeah, there was a Waters of Mars element to it, and there's also a kind of the Impossible Planet element to it, and there was another element. Those ghosts that were walking around, the Unquiet Dead. So yeah, there were various bits that have been cherry picked from previous stories, but that's we've come to you know.
Are we seeing somebody in Peter Capaldi's incarnation of the Doctor? I can barely say the surname.
Capaldi, precisely.
Who is almost channeling a side of the Doctor which could be described as emotionally autistic in this new incarnation?
They're all like that. Mm. They're all like that, weren't they? I mean, there was a story called Fear Her, where a Doctor goes into someone's kitchen and sees some jam and picks it up and takes the top off and sticks his finger in immediately and eats a piece, and she goes to him, Rose goes to him and says, "No, no, don't do that." You know. So there's a kind of idea that he's Time Lords in general, probably because, you know, they're all a bit weird. are a bit emotionally autistic, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Eva, you can return and still find some of that channeled through the series, even though you say it's never been the same since David Tennant left.
Well, it has. It hasn't been the same since David Tennant left. And I'm very pleased about that.
There you are. Scott, thoughts from yourself?
Well, I haven't seen Doctor Who in some while.
Your time been, man?
Well, yes, I need to...
I'm
no Time Lord. I can't go back.
Some of the meetings. You could easily use your laptop device instead of accessing it whilst people are talking about other things.
But I did hear colleagues in the office talking yesterday, and one was saying that he was sitting with his 9-year-old son and he found last week's episode one of the scariest that he'd seen. And I felt actually compelled to view it on iPlayer.
Exactly.
Yeah. So probably sometime in the next evening or two, I shall sit down and have a look at it and see what I've been missing.
Yeah, was it the child event? It's scary or the adult?
Both, I think, actually. Yeah. He said it was one of the scariest he'd seen, and his son, certainly, who was 9 years old, was clutching his arm, apparently.
It is, of course, the season of Halloween that approaches, and that could tie in as well with Dark Knights and a variety of other factors.
I thought it reminded me a bit of that. Remember there was the Red Dwarf episode once where they got this cryogenic chamber, and there was a countdown on it, wasn't it, to find out when it's going to open. And for most of the story, it remained closed. And then they thought it was this beautiful woman, and finally a sort of cybernetic thing kind of attacks them. That reminded me a bit of that as well, you know, the idea that there is a sealed, deadlocked, sealed device with something in it.
It's something that Jason Bradbury could be questioned on at the University of Lincoln when he's around today in the engine shed.
Just a
thought there. Anyway, yeah. With his DeLorean. Original DeLorean as well. Fantastic stuff.
Is it travel in time?
I believe so, yes. It's just, I mean, he jaunts around in all so many ways. With respect to the event, can people actually just turn up on that? I think they have to book and register online if they are coming. That's the official
Line. Yeah.
So look, go to the University of Lincoln website. Very limited now, actually. You'd have to have your own time machine to actually book it. But it is today. So there we are. We celebrate and rejoice that. Alan, it's been a lot shorter than normal because we've had so much to pack into the show. From Natalie Tuck and her shower challenges, right the way through to Billy Burrows and his financial advice for pension-seeking folk, Richard Fitzwilliams outside the Leicester Square, where cinema scenario, Arthur McKenzie, Charles Mills, the show director for Countryside Live, Ian Lennox from Tyneside, William Sitwell from his very own base in London, talking about Cambridgeshire wonderful chicken pieces called Raise, and Bill Steele, and of course yourself, Alan Stevens. Eva, go on, bowl those last two questions to the Stevens Meister, please.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes.
And hopefully will we be hearing again from you soon?
Next Thursday, isn't it?
I think that's right, yes. We'll sort of have a reflection on both the two-parters. Scott, have you enjoyed your return to the production?
I've had a wonderful morning. It has been very, very entertaining.
Set us up for a whole day of fun and joy at the University of Lincoln, which is what we're all about, so we will work through that. I'm going off to collect my registers now. Yeah, I'm sorted on that basis.
And committees for me.
There you go, genius. And Eva will be chilling and focusing, etc. So Eva, back on Wednesday?
I am, yes.
Scott, back in the very near future, hopefully?
I'd love to.
And that sort of TNT show, which I think the mashup, that's very interesting. Say no more. You know, check out the podcast. We want to find out more from that point of view. But an intriguing line. Matthew Craig. Amazing. That's it. Thanks to you, dear listener, for being with us. Don't forget, great stuff coming up on Siren, including, obviously, the Thursday drive time. No adults back, of course, again later on in the afternoon. And much, much more. We say Professor Scott Davison and Eva McDonald, we salute you. And Alan Stevens. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.